Ladies and gentlemen, it's here. It is a Friday coming at you live. Brad, how you doing today?
Truth be told, a little frustrated. We had our weekly. I played terrible. May or may not have rid myself of my putters, but hey, it's okay. Patreon's picking me some new ones. I'm excited to putt with some new putters and maybe get my putting back on track, and I can maybe play decent disc golf again. But at the end of the day, got to play disc golf before work today, talking about disc golf. Pretty good day still.
I love it. I love it. I will say I have a couple podcasts that I consume and listen to. Most of them are disc golf related. Most of them on the Foundation Podcast Network. But I was listening to the Swanky Time show, and I really appreciated that you had the opportunity at the end to plug some stuff, and Luke saying, yeah, go check them out, In the Bag Podcast. They'll be shooting episode 56 real soon.
Yep, it was great. Well, the funny part, hey, here's a behind the scenes look at that. Luke actually didn't get that reference. We were talking before the podcast briefly, and Josiah actually was like, hey, you guys still on episode 56? And I was like, oh, someone got the reference. And Luke's like, well, that's cool. You guys have 56 episodes. And then we both kind of laughed at him because he didn't quite get the reference, but I appreciated that he threw it in at the end, and now he will forever get the reference.
Yeah, so good. So good. Speaking of things that are good, we have an awesome sponsor for today's episode, and we're going to welcome back for, I believe, the second time on the podcast, Connor, to talk a little bit about Mudwater.
Before we get into this episode, I would love to talk about the sponsor of this episode, and that is Mudwater, a product that I love. Mudwater is a beverage that is meant to replace coffee or energy drinks in your life because, I mean, yeah, coffee's a great time and everything, but you know what sucks is whenever it gives you that little boost of energy, and then later in the day, you get those jitters and you get that bad crash. Especially for me, if I haven't eaten anything and I drink a cup of coffee, I get super jittery and anxious. But with Mudwater, that's not a problem because Mudwater isn't packed with caffeine. It actually gives you longer lasting, more sustainable energy with just the fraction of the caffeine as coffee. And it's made with four different mushrooms in it. It's got all this these crazy ingredients inside, and I don't understand how they make a product that has all these awesome healthy ingredients in it but doesn't taste like some kind of weird healthy guy food. It actually tastes like a chai tea latte is the best way I can describe it. And I even make it the same way that I would make coffee, where you just put the powder inside of a cup of hot water and you stir it up. And then I would just put like creamer, like the vanilla creamer that I use for my coffee, I put in Mudwater, and it makes it taste delicious. I mean, it's a really, really healthy beverage that tastes like something that you would get from a barista, and it's really awesome. So it's some of the other things about it is organic, gluten-free, vegan, non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and kosher. This is a great time if you do want to try it. If you don't believe me that's delicious and good for you, go try it for yourself. You can go to mudwater.com. That's mudwtr.com/foundation. You'll get $20 off your subscription. You'll get a free frother, and you'll get a free sample of their coconut creamer and sweetener. And I also got to say, their frother, I have a lot of frothers at my house. Their frother is so cool, and it works. It's like my favorite frother I've ever seen. So again, that is mudwater.com, mudwtr.com/foundation. Thanks, Mudwater.
Welcoming back, longtime listener, second time caller, Nate. How you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Not bad.
Awesome. Well, we have Nate coming back on for a very specific reason because, as you may know, or may not know, the first time Nate was on, Nate was just a fan, you know, and then now Nate actually works here with us at Foundation from time to time.
In the family.
So, we were talking the other day, and Nate and I are going through a very similar thing where we're switching around a lot of our bag, and we thought it'd be a really good topic for all of you to be a part of. And so rather than just talk about the warehouse and on text chains, we're going to talk about it with you all today, about kind of like some of the challenges when you're switching a lot of your bag around, why you would even do that, and then, you know, some of the struggles, but also some of the positives that come along with that process. And obviously Robbie is here to coach us through all of that, which is great. So, but before we dive into that, we want to make sure, and this is kind of cool, we're going to start doing this with people that come back on the show, or even when people start checking in, we start doing recap episodes at the first of the year. We're going to like get to know Nate a little bit better as far as his throwing and his putting, but like when I ask him, hey, has that changed, stayed the same, or gotten worse, you know, since the last time we talked?
Yeah, which will be, I think, very fascinating, especially if someone, for what I anticipate, a lot of people are going to say, oh, one aspect of my putting did get worse. I wish it was not the case, but I feel like most of the time when we focus on, if we focus on increasing distance, our putting can get worse because we're just spending less time focusing on it, things like that. Also, fun fact for this episode, it does feel like all three of us have a brand or two leaving our bag. It's just a matter, it's different, but it's all different brands. So, what a time as we navigate this. So Nate, we put you out in the field, dude. And we're like, hey, how far are you consistently reaching? Forehand and backhand.
I have to say 300, a little over 300, backhand. However, that is with a slower speed disc now, than it was before. But even going up to higher speed disc now, I'm still not getting the distance out of it, but it's all form, nose angle, thicker, big nose angle, issue for me on reaching out past that. But as far as forehand, I still feel 250. I can get that farther depending on the disc I use.
Yeah, I
would concur. We see play. I would give you probably a little bit farther than 300 personally, but I think you're saying 300 confidently.
Yeah,
is where you're going to be. I think and how's that changed since last time we talked, Nate?
The last time it was 316 was a grip lock for me as of last time with a heat. So before it was probably 280 is consistent, but 3 I could really get there if I really needed to, but it wasn't any sort of accuracy to that. Mm-hmm. Not that I can claim to be accurate now, but
it's intentional distance now, right? Not just like accidental
not just letting it flip.
What about your forehand? Is it stay the same or has it gotten better?
I haven't really worked on it much. Just focused on the backhand, but I wouldn't right now. I haven't thrown for trying not to throw forehands. My shoulder's been injured. I've been milking an injury, I guess, for a couple months now. So I try not to throw any sort of distance on the forehand, just like a little chip shot maybe. I would still say that's about like the 250, 280. I know I've thrown with the using a sail, I was able to get like a flip up like 280, 290. But I don't, it's one of those things where I haven't tried to recreate that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Trying to go for a distance forehand with a sail on the course can be a dicey decision.
Can be tragic
at lots of scenarios. Even if you have a good forehand, that can be.
I've been taking the time to like actually work on like the form and thought process between, and I feel like I figured out once I go back into feeling comfortable with throwing like a harder forehand, that I probably have a little bit better success in the actual mechanics of the throw.
I feel like I kept injuring my rotator cuff from just trying to kill forehands and doing it the wrong way. And now I think like I'm kind of the same way with you. I've been like paying attention to the form of my like forehand, and I can just like kind of smooth one out just as far as I could crank one out like maybe 6 or 7 months ago. And I think that will eventually lead to some more distance. But right now it's just a confidence like, okay, I'm kind of with you, like 280-ish is where I feel like comfortable just like kind of smoothing out a forehand accurately now at this point. And I think that'll just grow over time as we just kind of get that form down and that snap.
And even then, if it didn't, unless it had to be that like a forehand shot shape, I probably would try and do a turnover even still.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those, I'm starting to realize that you don't have to throw it as hard as you think you do on a forehand. And I feel like that might be where I lean into getting better with that. As far as working on your actual like mechanics of your arm, wrist movement, all that stuff, instead of just trying to rip on it.
Yeah, I was watching Brody on, I think it was on his channel, actually. He was doing a live stream. He started a new series on his channel where he's trying to coach some local players up in the Las Vegas area. But he had this talk of like throwing forehands and a grip on a forehands for our visual watchers, where he's like, most people, when they lock in a forehand, they keep their fingers really straight. And he's like, but I want you to imagine that you like hold this and pull in your fingers, like to trying to pull your fingers into your palm. Mm-hmm. Once they're on the plate, and just feeling how much tighter that is and like the pressure there. I'm going to be honest. I'm not entirely convinced. I gotta like test it out. I definitely feel like you get more tension on it to get a tighter like rotation and things like that. Yeah, I'd be worried about like over rotating it, yeah. But
that's what I'm never going to really question. That, it's man. Like how you get a snap from a forehand when you're really not pinching. Now on the backhand, I'm pinching right, you know, at its pinch point, but then there's no like, you know, pat your finger and your thumb are not directly above each other on the, so that's one of those things where I've been working through on figuring out like what the grip should actually look like. Like you say, you know, put two fingers down, but what is the actual snap coming from? Is where it's,
yeah.
So I think let's try that out.
Yeah. My issue, even on backhand too, is my rotate. Like I don't have the RPMs. And so that's where I feel like my next focus is, or will be, is focusing mm-hmm. on getting RPM.
Yeah, I think for me, I do like the power grip forehand. And the reason I do that is because I, on like that stacked grip, I never feel like I have the like stability I need to throw hard. I feel like it's going to slip out of my hand. So that's the reason I went to the power grip. So I might have to try that. Because I think the drawback of the power grip is I do think I'm like maybe adding a little too much resistance to my forehand. I don't feel like it's like coming out as smooth as it should. So that might be the good middle ground. I'll have to try that too. It's a good point.
Yeah. And I will say on a forehand, like hands down, it just, because of the exact point you're mentioning, Nathan, the rotation, like the RPMs on a forehand, on a great forehand, are always going to be significantly lower than RPMs on a, like, I'd bet, what I would be most fascinated to see is AB put a video out on his channel saying like, how far can I actually throw? And he was like, yeah, do you guys think I can throw like a 500 foot forehand? I don't know. Let's see if I can. And then just boom, bombed some mm-hmm. forehands out there. And it was like, whoa, that's something. And I would love to see on like a 500 foot forehand, what the RPMs actually look like mm-hmm. on a 500 foot golf shot. I've witnessed someone throw a 78 mile an hour forehand with a tech disc, but the numbers were not anything impressive because he was just trying to throw really fast. So mm-hmm. like, that's fine. Okay. So putting, Nathan, we put you on the putting green. We're like, hey, you are, you got 10 from 15 feet, 10 from 25 and 10 from 40 feet. How many are you making at this point?
10 for 10 from 15. 25, I would say 7. And then farther out from that, probably 50%.
Okay.
Putting has improved. Nate has definitely improved on his putting, for sure. Blue bonnets.
Blue bonnets for now. For now.
Well, yeah, for now. Yeah, for those of you who haven't participated, if you're not a Patreon member, if you're not a Heiser Club member, you're missing out on some fun. Heiser Club is picking Nathan, mine and Jason's putters for 2024, and we're doing bracket style. So looks like Nate is between, what'd you say, the Wizard and the Firefly?
Yep.
And then mine's going to be between the Butter and the Dart. I might be part of the Dart gang now, which, you know, hey, if it's good enough for Clayton, it's good enough for me, is what I say. And Jason's, I think, is between the Dart as well and something else, right?
That dart would be convenient for you guys if you both landed on dart, because then your little rack, your practice putting rack at the shop could just all be darts.
Full dart. Yeah, full dart. So that's good. So overall, Nate, do you feel like your game in general has improved? Or, you know, because we usually ask people strengths and weaknesses at this point. Do you feel like your strengths and weaknesses are the same? Or do you feel like you've really switched those around?
I feel like I've maybe switched them around a little bit. Maybe the same. I don't know. I haven't actually thought about that. So
yeah, cause I feel like
before it was approach mm-hmm. and I'm going to say, well, I mean, there was this time, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 months ago, that I really felt my approach was lacking or started to lack. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the touch anymore. I lost the touch, and I don't know if it's because I've, you know, it's one of the things when I first started that it's like, okay, I figured things out. I'm already pretty good at this. But as things changed other places, they kind of migrated into, you know, like my approach stuff. And so I no longer threw the same way. Like I used to, like Anheuser Pig approach was like my bread and butter. Mm. But now that I've developed more of a touch, like I wasn't giving it enough to get the, to come over on the Anheuser to get a straight shot off of it. It was coming out too soon. So because I'm touchier in other areas, like I've lost, it's one of those things where, yeah. Makes sense. I've actually had to start doing, going back to the Envy for an Anheuser touch, you know, to where it just kind of floats and just sits. That it was the pig, but now I started giving it, or not giving it enough anymore. Because before I didn't have any touch. It was just, I could able to throw it in the pig and it would, you know, float over and just sit. But then I've had to go to a less stable to be able to get that done because so it wouldn't come out too early.
Fascinating. Yeah. I think the pig especially, and this is coming from someone who obviously enjoys that Frisbee, but I think Anheuser approach, Anheuser itself is just one of the hardest things with the pig to, like, the only pig that I feel like I throw on a consistent Annie shot reliably is my Precious Child, which doesn't fly like a pig. So it is, I can definitely see that world of, and I would consider myself someone who has a ton of touch, but it's like the pigs, the R-Pro pigs especially, have this fine line of like too much Annie and they don't stand a chance. Mm-hmm. But if you're a hair off of those, and they're going to do exactly what you're saying, and they're just immediately fighting out. Well, that's not very helpful either, is it? So, okay, so we're going to go ahead and put your bag on the screen here, Nathan. You said you got about removing a manufacturer out of there. You got about five slots that we're looking to fill. But the most noticeable chasm being looking at the Quake all the way over to a Rollo, which the Quake for lots of people is going to be that like utility slash just silly overstable mid-range. And the Rollo might be the most opposite of the description I just used ever.
Yep.
Even in the Glow Champ plastic.
Yeah. It's really in the exact mirrored spot on the other side of the graph. So that's kind of interesting.
I can't even imagine how, like, if they have they made baseline Rollos yet? Like,
Just the Star and then the Glow Champ.
Yeah. I can guarantee you that we're going to see DX Rollos before we see Halo Pigs.
And I'm not throwing the Glow Champ either. So, yet.
We'll probably have Halo Rollos real soon. If we're getting Halo Zephyrs, because everyone, you know, I was looking at the list of people who were looking for Frisbees, and Halo Zephyrs, actually one of the most sought after discs on the market. Anyways, I'm getting fired up again. My bad.
All right.
So putter wise, I love your putter setup. I think it's very simple, but very, very proficient. PA5. Sell people on the PA5, because I feel like if you live in Lynchburg, the PA5 is gaining popularity, and it may be gaining a tiny bit of popularity at other places in the world, but I just feel like people are sleeping on that disc in the Prodigy lineup a lot.
I love it. Like I was almost contemplating actually getting baseline to putt with as well. But it's, if you want to learn a hyzer flip, start with the PA5. Like, it's got that lid-like, I don't even want to say it's a lid-like feeling. Some people describe it as lid-like, but I don't think so. When I grab it, I don't think, oh, this feels like a glitch, you know, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I remember the very first throw I threw with it. I threw it 260 feet on a hyzer flip. Mm-hmm. And it was just the prettiest stand up, turn a little bit, and come back. It's just very manipulative. I mean, be able to manipulate it. But it's very easy to turn over too. Like, if I really wanted, if I threw it flat, like, it's gone. Like, it's over. But I can, whenever I was trying the glitch in my bag, this gives me the glitch glide with the stability of, you know, a more stable, because I can stand it, stand still, just a little flick, and it'll just glide up there if I want to. I guess in the woods, like really in the woods, if I want something to get, I need to go straight and floaty shot, I can throw it on hyzer, and it just kind of stands up and rides and just floats on down. But then again, I can also throw turnovers fairly, very easy with it.
Yeah. Did you throw or have you tried the Watt?
Yeah.
How did it compare to the PA5? Because I know a lot of people will say, like, I like that you use the glitch comparison of so, I get my glitch shots, but more.
The Watt and glitch both, from my understanding, you have to have higher rotations on those to get those to fly like they're supposed to fly. I want them to fly. And because I struggle with that, I cannot throw either one of them like other people. I don't get the flights out of them. Other people do. But the PA5, I don't have any issue with. So it's just like the Watt. Like I felt like with the Watt, for me at least, I had a problem getting it to stay in the air. Like it just, as soon as it came out of my hand, it was just on, like, not nose down, but it just kind of, it looked like it was just floating. I mean, just going on down. But at the same time, it was it's the only disc I've ever caught chains with off the tee. So, but it wasn't consistent, and that's why it's not in there. But there's consistency with the PA5 that I love.
Okay. Okay. I love it. So jumping up, would you say it's like a reasonable jump based on what your Envy and your Proxy can do? The reasonable jump being like you have two Toros in the bag.
Yeah, KC Pro Toro just went in there. I haven't thrown it yet, but because I just want to see what beating in a Toro is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what kind of fight you could get out of that at some point. Maybe it takes the Quake out. Who knows? But it's a KC Pro Toro that I just added in there. So I thought it'd be fun to wear one of those in.
Yeah. And I'd be curious because like I'd be so curious how long it takes to beat in like a KC Pro Toro.
That's why I pulled the pig out just so I can lean into that one and see if I can put that KC Pro, if it would be able to do that pig slot because it would wear in.
I gotcha. Okay. So mid ranges, talking Quake all the way over to the Rollo, you had two or three discs filling those slots. Looking through, so from a, and it was one mold spread out across a couple of discs, right?
Yeah, pretty much. There's three. It was one mold doing three discs or three slots. So
okay,
I had the Mustang in there, and it was a glow Mustang. I had a glow Mustang, and then I had Apex Mustang, and then I had bought. At the time this decision went down, a baseline Mustang, I found a baseline Mustang to try and wear in to do that a little bit understable. And then I had the Lobster. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get that the baseline to fit between the Apex and the Lobster and C at that point.
Yeah. So what did you like about having one mold for like three slots?
I just love the feel of the Mustang. Like I love it in my hand. And I've never been one to actually need to mold mineralize. And so this is one of those, I'm going to give it the shot right here. Like I'm going to lean into, you know, like Connor, how he has, you know, rocks out of from right to left on in there. And I was like, well, I'm gonna give this a shot. Like, I'm gonna make the Mustang my disc. Like that's it. And so that's what I decided and see how that went. And that's why coming out with a different, I'm getting all three of those plastics to see what I can do with that.
Yeah. And I it's funny because again, I think we're in a very similar spot in our bag building, which is why I wanted to bring you on, Nate. And, you know, it's like, we kind of talked about the top of the episode, but I'm like really leaning into putters and mids right now. And then like I'm starting to like get in like fairways. That's where I'm really focusing. I'll throw a few like higher speed things in there just to try out for fun. But really, the thing I'm really trying to like just really nail it are my like mid ranges, like my five speeds, because I really want to feel like I have a bunch of shots, because again, there's still not a ton of difference in distance between a five speed and a seven speed for me. Right. They're starting to be. Saves
it for me. Like I can do now, I know it's like, I think my five speeds, I just automatically in my head, it's 250. If it's 250, I'm going mid range.
Right.
And so that's where I'm at with that. Because now that I'm throwing my putters 220, I mean, that's kind of just kind of pushed up, but the drivers have not pushed up. So like I said, it's the nose. It's really a nose issue, I believe, on my part to get that out there.
Yeah, and I think so. What I was kind of like spreading everything out on my mid ranges, and I really had, again, I'm kind of like you. Like I never really super wanted to mold minimalize, but there's like certain slots, like my FD slot. I do have like pretty much my straight to slightly overstable to flippy fairways are all FDs, which I like that. I don't. When I get into the higher speed, I don't want to think a ton about what I'm going to throw, but my mid ranges were all different discs spread out to like small incremental changes in flight. And I finally kind of got tired of that. So I'm really trying to like minimalize in that it's honestly in the same exact spot. Like I have my extreme, I have my flippy, cause I have like the uplink is my flippy side. And then I just put a quake in for my like overstable. However, my quake, I don't feel like is as overstable as I need it to be. So I need to look in. I might throw the anchor or something in that slot.
You have a glow quake, and mine is the PL. I forgot what it is. It's the opaque plastic. But they said that's the straighter one. Mm-hmm. But it's not straighter, like a 0-2 straight either. That's like a. So I don't know if.
Yeah, it looks like the one you have is like the Tor, the Noah Miensma. Or, yeah. I'm sorry if I butchered his last name. Yeah, so like that Tor one, you know, maybe is a little more overstable, but the one I have is not nearly as overstable as I want it to be.
I'm not actually get you to throw mine compared to yours just to see the difference, because for me, like it was a fight between it and the Bobcat, and Bobcat was slightly more overstable than it, but it wasn't enough difference. I didn't need the Bobcat at that point if I had that between the Toro and the Quake.
Yeah, yeah, because what I loved about the Bobcat, which it might be a hard spot to fill. Is the Bobcat would push pretty straight and then have a hard dump at the end. And like, that's kind of what I'm looking for. It didn't have a lot of glide. So I think maybe the anchor, I watched Trevor throw the anchor and it looks like possibly how it flew for him. I know it's going to be more overstable for me. And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is like that middle slot of the, it's kind of the same as the FD, honestly. And it's kind of the same slot as my putters even, which is now I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but I want that middle slot, like the like straight with a slightly overstable finish, straight and then slightly understable. I kind of want that to be the same disc, just different plastic, because there's a lot of touch involved, I think, between those slots, and I don't want a lot of variation in those, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if I do want a lot of variation, I probably want like a very overstable mid range or a very flippy mid range. Same with a fairway. I would want, if I want a variation, I want a, like an overstable fairway or a very understable fairway. So now that I'm looking, that's kind of what I'm starting to do with my bag. Like my, the thing I'm really missing right now on my throwing putters are like, I had like a really beaten Envy that was flippy. I had my glow, my Eclipse Envy that was straight pretty much. Now it's just really beat in. And then I had a new Eclipse Envy that was straight to overstable, like a normal Envy would be. And then going up to my five speeds, I now have, I'm trying to do the same thing with a hex. So I have like a Fission hex, which is straight to slightly understable. And then now I put an Eclipse hex in that's pretty just straight with a tiny bit of finish. And then now I need to find like that flippy between the Fission hex and my uplink, which I just put an Origin in, Robbie. And I threw it today and I was like, yep, I'm going to work with that. That's going to work for me. So
yeah,
what are you really looking for in your like just neutral mid-range? Like is that a shot you try to lean into a lot, Nate, or do you like a more like slightly overstable mid-range to lean into?
No, I think about it, it wasn't the Apex, it was an Eternal Mustang. Mm-hmm. So the Eternal Mustangs had a little bit more flip and glide to them, so they were more of a hex type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why I got the Eclipse, or the Nocturnal, was because it pushed just as far, but it was never a flip to flat kind of turn. But the Eternals would give you a little bit, slight bit of, you could tell it wanted to turn at the very beginning of the fight, but then would straighten out. And so that's really for that one. That's like dead straight with just a slight bit of finish is what it was. Because I had a Fission Hex and I took that one out of the bag because I wanted to lean into the Mustang, and that Eternal Mustang flew very similar to the Hex enough that one of them had to come out.
So what about the Hex made you want to try something different? Is it just the Mustang felt better, or was there something about the Hex that you just didn't want to stick with?
It was just one of those I had to pick one over the other at the point. And for me, it's like, okay, everybody else is throwing the Hex. Well, let me see if I can spread the good word about the Mustang.
Yeah.
And because it's slightly more stable like than the Hex. It's definitely, it's not as, there's a 5502, but it's not a 5502. The Glow might be a 5502, but like the Eternals or might be a 5.5, like 0.5, like -0.5, one. So very straight, and it just reliably finished right there at the very end. Like it was straight until the very last minute.
And were you a Pathfinder guy before the Hex and Mustang? Or did you throw the Pathfinder not like it? I can't remember.
The I had never thrown one until y'all came back from USDGC and Jason brought me one back. And so I have that now and was thinking about just swapping them out, you know, and then getting a Glow one as well.
Have you tried the reactor?
No, I have one. I got it in the Jarapalooza box. I haven't thrown it yet.
Yeah. So when you're talking about like wanting to have something that covers multiple slots, the reactor is one of those discs that, I remember. So James signs with MVP and I am like, okay, cool. Don't know why you would waste your time there, but go shoot your shot. Disc golf Jesus, like do your thing. And they come out Bendy James, and I was playing a, I think it was a triples tournament. Super, super fun. But we were in the solo round and I walked past the local shop that was vending and they had Bendy James there. And my card was like, whoa, did you guys pull those out while we were all in the middle of the round? And they were like, yeah, we were going to have them ready and available. And our card stopped and we all bought a Bendy James during the middle of a round. And then we threw them on hole one. So that's my first introduction to gyro. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to go try more. As most people who get into gyro or throw for the first time, then like the infection happens. So the reactor jumps in my bag because someone handed me one to try. And I was like, wow, this thing is crazy good. And the reactor is a disc that I struggled to replace going with Innova, talking about an all trilogy bag, things like that. Like it's, I very much struggled to cover it because of the plastic variability. Like the Eclipse reactor is not as overstable as a Quake, but it is, you're going to throw it and it's going to fade. Like that is going to happen. And then the Fission reactor serves like a very, very straight shot for me. And I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of the, for you, you had the Hex versus the, Eternal Mustang, because they kind of did the same thing. You had to pick one. I had a Hex and I just kept trying to find an overstable Hex to fill the like role of my Fission reactor. But I knew I wanted the Eclipse reactor in there as well. And I thought, why not just throw that in there? Because I had an old Fission reactor that I gave away while I was up at Foundation one trip, that was like a really straight flyer. So definitely, I would look at that. My big warning for on like when you're making a big switch like this is Brad, you talked about you had at one point like multiple, all of your mid ranges, you didn't have any duplicates, all individual molds. And if you're making a big conversion like this, like Nathan's trying to do, like Brad's trying to do, it's really tough unless you have access to a great use section. It's really tough to like add in just, oh, well, now I'm a reactor guy. Or you could be like, oh, now I'm a Pathfinder guy. Because most of the variation that you're going to see on an extreme level comes from beating the disc in. It's not like, it'd be very tough to find a mold that the plastic made that much of a difference that you could just put it in the bag and it instantly would cover all those slots. And I'll be honest, even if that was the case, I don't know that it would necessarily be a good thing to throw it all in your bag right off the bat, because if the plastic already makes that much of a variance, then when those things beat in, it's going to be, I mean, you're shifting around everywhere. Personal thought there. But yeah, so another disc that we're talking about replacing is that sort of, you had, what was it, a lobster that was chilling between your Mustangs and your Rollo? Okay. So Brad, you're much more familiar with the lobster than I am. If you were looking for lobster alternatives, have you found anything yet that's like, ah, this is pretty nice?
I feel like I threw the Origin before and then I kind of put it away and then I started throwing it again. And the Origin is very similar, because what I like about the lobster is you can throw it hard and it'll just has a little flip to it and then it'll just kind of carry right. It'll just kind of gently turn. And I feel like that's a very hard disc to find, at least for me. And I don't know if I have like the angle control really for that, but I tried the Detour and it just didn't work for me. It's not the same. I feel like the Detour, you had to have more touch. Yeah, it's more similar to the Uplink.
I haven't thrown it yet, but I hyzer flipped almost everything. Like that's my go-to is a hyzer flip. Mm-hmm. And that's why about the Mustang is that it had enough that I could hyzer. Well, that one, the Eternal, was my first one that I had. So when I first bought it, it was my overstable mid-range when I first started. And then it turned into my, whether from beat in or just me throwing it, you know, better, harder, is my straight. And so, but yeah, that's my go-to is a hyzer flip. I very rarely try to throw anything flat.
Yeah, and I think the Origin is definitely that. And even if you go get it in like a meta plastic, it'll have a little bit more, I'm saying as much stability as an Origin can have. But yeah. Those are definitely a little less flippy, but I think that just your standard Neo Origin is kind of that, because I throw a baby hyzer and it'll pop up and then gently turn.
Yeah.
So Origin might be a good one.
What plastic was the ones we did in the Robbie C box?
Neo.
Was a Neo. Neo. Okay, so I have the Neo Origin.
Yeah. Which is the Neo Origin is one of my favorites. I would say the Neo, about the only plastic that I find to be flippier than the Neo is a baseline Origin. Mm-hmm. And a baseline Origin, you could beat up very fast to be just as flippy. I'm not going to say just as flippy as a Rollo, correction, but pretty much on its way towards that world. Like when I had Origins in my bag, I have a base plastic Origin that stays in my backup box that I take to tournaments, because if I lost, when I was bagging Origins, if I lost my Neo Origin that was nice and seasoned in the middle of a round, I knew I could just bring out that base plastic one. And I probably couldn't like keep it in the bag for longer than a month or something, especially if I was using it a lot, because it really would get in. It would get super, super beat in, but at easy flip up, easy reliability. And that's, I think the Origin, that neoplastic to me seasons really fast, but unlike, like, I think it's one of the things Trilogy Plastic in general just really tries to lean into in terms of it seasons really fast. And so its stability is going to shift a good amount, but as soon as it reaches that beautiful sweet spot, it's just going to chill there for a long time.
Yeah. And I think its flight's very similar to the lobster for me, Nate. So that may be a good thing to lean into. And I think like the Claymore gets slept on a lot. I think the Claymore is a very good disc probably for that slot. It feels really good in the hand too. So I think maybe that's an area to explore. And I'm trying to think if there's any other really, like a mid-range. I mean, the Peach, I think, can get there. The only thing that concerns me about a Peach is like availability is up and down. And then also it's not available in any other plastics currently.
Yeah. I'm just looking at what I've already got here.
Yeah, because I have thrown the Peach too, and I do like it because it was a very like hit it pretty hard and it would just kind of turn slowly, which I think that's like a beautiful disc to have in your bag.
Yeah, I thought I was going to lean. I had to put the, well, when I decided to do that with the Mustangs, I had put the Dune in my bag to cover that slightly understable spot till that Mustang, that baseline Mustang got seasoned in. But then that came back, that came out whenever the, that went out the window.
Yeah. The Dunes for me, like the Dune just kept going just laser beam straight.
Yeah.
And I like that. I just never felt myself like grabbing it a whole lot just because, and again, it's not, it's a great thing that it did that for me. Just, I wanted something either slightly more flippy or slightly less straight. And that's why I just never grabbed for it.
Yeah. The Dune to me, I think when I originally got the Dune, I tried to compare it and push out my origin because of the Dune.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole like, oh, it's going to be like, it's an origin. It's an origin. It's a Detour. It's a Peach. Like, it is that super, super flip. But the more that I threw it, the more I was like, no, in my mind, the origin is what the hex, what people think the hex is, mm-hmm. In terms of
true,
because for lots of people, when you're throwing a hex, especially a fresh hex, I think that like we've all gotten so accustomed to fission hexes that we just think that's what a hex is, when in mm-hmm. reality, like a fission hex is one of the flippiest hexes that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so for your standard, your neutron hexes, your, especially your eclipse hexes, I think that they fly a little more. I would say they definitely fly more like a -1/1 than lots of buzzes do.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Discraft. Not trying to offend anyone, but I will say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the 20-year one, right? Like, doesn't fly. It flies like a minus, like a 0/1 to like a 0/2.
Yeah,
I got one of those in the Trash Panda box as a return, and I'm like, all right, I didn't buy this, so I'll just throw it. Maybe it might make it in there. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I always forget how good I threw that disc, and I kept throwing it because it was just so good, and I just keep forgetting about it. I might need to. That might be what takes my Nebula slot. And I just took the Nebula out again. It was not anything's wrong with the Nebula. I love the Nebula, but I just wasn't grabbing it enough, and I don't know why. It was not as overstable as I wanted, and it wasn't as understable as I wanted. So I just kept skipping right or left of it in my bag.
And now here's a thought, and y'all might know, because I know the Rock 3 does not fly as stable as it says, what everyone says. However, I have a Champ Metal Flake Rock 3.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be, do you know that, would, is that plastic or whatever, would that be just as stable as a Quake or not as stable as a Quake?
Definitely not as stable as a Quake. If you're looking for something that's like Rock or like Quake level, the Rock X3 mm-hmm. has a very similar hand feel, but is not, it's not technically obviously a Rock 3. But that was my next question, was like, I don't know how you feel about buzzes in general, but like there are two iconic mid ranges that cover a ton of slots for people, and it's the Rock and the Buzz. And so if you're trying to replace, I think we all want to be creative and have like the niche, I've got this, like, and there's a beauty to that, there's a fun to that, but also I think there is a little fun to like trying to hunt down really cool rocks or hunting down really cool buzzes. If you're Discraft, I don't know that they've ever done a drop of discs that hasn't had some form of a buzz.
Mm-hmm. It's true. There's a million plastic types in both the Rock and the Buzz. And that's what I was going to, kind of my final thought here was, you know, as you're picking a mold to land on, I think for me, what I'm trying to lean into a little bit more is, and this is kind of the reason I'm switching in and stuff in and out of my bag, is I would like something that I have a lot of options for, so I can really find what I like. And they, you know, because plastic type does matter. And if there's a lot of them, hopefully I can find one that both feels good to me and will cover the slots that I want to.
Yeah, because like the Buzz, I've got the 20-year Buzz now, but then I've got the ESP Buzz that was the Halloween stamp. Mm-hmm. And then I also have the CT Buzz. So that's the ones I've got, but I don't like the Buzz and the feel of it in ESP. However, the other week when we got those Paul Macbeth signature buzzes in, mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't even feel like a normal buzz.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, why would you not make this your standard buzz? Because this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to throw this now. But
yeah. I would be so curious if manufacturers have a record of how many of each mold they've ever made. Mm-hmm. Right? Like somewhere I feel like that system has to have been put in place.
Yeah.
Like as Discraft in the however many years they've been making the buzz, they have made 2,500,000, you know, like I would be so curious what the most, and this is, here's our chance to push to the comments. What do you think is the most made disc of all time? Not plastic, but the most made, most created mold of all time. Mm-hmm. And you talk about, Nathan, like the, there is ESP that doesn't feel good, but we all know there's ESP that feels great. Lindsay, who is not a plastic connoisseur by any means, we filmed a video this week and she pulls my ESP Jawbreaker Passion out of the bag. And she was like, this feels incredible, which might be the only time I've ever heard my wife talk about the plastic of a disc and be, and say something about like how it feels versus just, oh, this looks cool.
Mm-hmm. That's like the Jawbreaker ESP, like the Zeus we've got on floating around in the warehouse. And every time I touch it, I'm like, I feel like I could just throw this thing forever, even though I know I can't, but I got the motivation to.
Yeah.
Got the comfort and the desire to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that we can try to reinvent the wheel a lot, but I mean, I bet in y'all's U section, I bet that there's three or four buzzes just chilling in the U section right now.
Oh, yeah.
And when you travel, you can find them in a variety of plastics. And it's also such a known disc that I'm sure in Discraft fan pages and things like that, if you were like, hey, I like how the 20-year buzz feels, I like how this buzz feels, fill the gaps. So there's something about going to a community of people who can really like help guide you in that, which is another reason that I really like one of our sponsors here at DiscRPM, because if you're looking for a community and you're looking for community suggestions, like our In the Bag community, I was telling Brad before we started recording today, blown away, y'all, there are 439 members. We actually, we ended up having to text Nathan to get his bag because he's in this community, but just trying to scroll through to find his bag. There's so many of y'all now. We're like,
I'm like on page two. So I'm like one of the first ones. So it's like,
well, I don't know how we missed it, but we did.
Yeah. So it was, we hunting, looking for it. But like, that's another thing is that if Nathan was looking, he can easily just sit in the Disc RPM community and kind of roll through at different people's bags and be like, oh, okay. Looking at mids, okay, they got Pathfinder for that guy. The mana, okay, cool. So there's an easy way to find suggestions from a community to find what you're looking for. But Nathan, we want to say thanks for coming on, man. And I wish you the best. I can't wait till I come up to visit again. And you're like, hey, this is what's in the bag now. And by the way, this is what I needed. I actually throw mid-ranges 400 feet now. Like, it's crazy. I can't throw drivers 400 feet, but for some reason, I threw this disc, and it's just easy 400.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, you'll be the first person to know.
All right, Nathan, we appreciate it, man. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Yeah, I just have to remind myself at times, like, I think that I truly think it's like this inner hipster mentality. So few people want to go with the flow. But as much as we want to say like the Buzz is the most overrated mid of all time, the Rock is the most overrated mid of all time, it's hard to call something that's so iconic and so mass produced and loved by so many people. How, like, is it overrated?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, honestly, the reason I was resistant to the Hex even was, I was like, man, everyone's hyping up the Hex. I don't want to be the Hex guy too. I want to be something else. And again, I think the reason I'm making the changes to my bag are like, I was really, and I was like getting back to it. Like, I started off as a Discraft only guy, one manufacturer. And like, slowly I felt myself slipping down that road again. And I was just like, nope. So took it all out and I'm just rebuilding things. And I'm at a good place. I'm trying to make some form changes. I'm at a place I need to make them. I need to work on my putting. So why not? Just working it all together. And hey, it's kind of fun. There's a lot of cool discs, you know, so why not throw some of them? I was like anti-trilogy and now kind of fall in love with the Evader. So the Evader's in there and I'm really loving it. Treated me good again today. So
go ahead. You got it.
No, I put in the diamond too, just to replace the sail. Cause I used to throw the diamond all the time. It was a very different slot than it is now for me. It used to be like a just slight hyzer flipped straight with a little bit of finish. And now it's like a flippy disc for me, but you need that. And just kind of fun. It's kind of, and you know, I'm embracing like beating in a new envy. I'm tired of crying about my envy that I lost at flips and like, we'll just beat in another
start
one.
Over.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
Have you tried the Jade?
Only occasion. My youngest loves the Jade. He has like two or three of them he bags, and I'll throw it occasionally if we're like doing a fun round where we swap discs or whatever, but I've not really thrown it a ton, to be honest.
Yeah, that's when I think about people who like have a well-established arm, because the diamond obviously prides itself in that it is the easy to use, like it's an easy to use fairway driver. Mm-hmm. Our local shop, we have sold more diamonds than any other mold, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. Because they're a beautiful, beautiful disc to learn on. I find for a lot of people, if you feel like the words easy to use no longer apply to you, the Jade is the least easy to use from the easy to use line.
Mm-hmm.
So it sits in that middle ground. So it might be an alternative option to look at it. Like you can still hit Jades to get diamond flight, but you're not fearful mm-hmm. of, oh, this thing's so lightweight and so flippy that
yeah,
I'm gonna find less situations. If I had a Jade and a diamond side by side, I could accomplish very similar flights out of both, but I would have more confidence and I would look to use the Jade more just because
mm-hmm.
it's not so squirrely for a faster arm.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it's fun. I think that really the only shot I do with a diamond is, I don't know, when I'm feeling fun, I just want to have some fun playing disc golf. And like, I'll just like throw it hard and like as nose up and as hyzer as I can throw it into the sky and try to get this huge turn, which it does.
Yeah.
And I feel cool. I feel like one of the big kids that can throw a disc. So yeah, I'll have to try out the Jade. And I think that whole easy to use line, like the Pearl, the Diamond, the Jade and the Sapphire, all very underrated discs. They're all very good. Yeah. They're putting them out in like VIP Orbit now and everything, or Lucid Orbit, whatever. Those are, and they look cool now too.
Yeah.
So why not?
Orbit Pearls might be one of the best selling discs that Latitude could ever make.
Yeah. They haven't made it yet. It's their sick. Halo Pig, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just imagine that panda stamp with like the Orbit around it. Almost you could even try to bring in like the Orbit a good bit. So it's like glowing off the Pearl.
Yeah.
That was so boss.
Yeah. Incredible.
So, one thing you talked about the Evader, taking us to, I filmed a video because they also, this company sponsored a Vlogmas video for me, but Hydra Disc Racks presenting sponsor of What's New in the Warehouse. And so I got my racks in first off. So nice. I mean,
like they're incredible. They're so good.
Blew me away. Yeah. here's the deal, guys. You look at it from a distance. And I think that when you first look at hyzer racks online, I'll be transparent here, guys, because I'm a believer. I'm a full believer at this point. When I first look at them on pictures online, you're like, it reminds me of, you know how if you go to Walmart and you buy a shelf, they have that like wood looking piece of like really thin board that you tack in to the back of your entertainment center so it looks wood.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could look at hyzer disc racks and be like, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like a really thin, it's just straight up like a really good wood. We had like a snafu when mine got delivered with the mailman, and so I felt bad because the mail lady, it was stored in the back of the post office. So she had to like drag it around to me and she literally pushed it on the ground in the box to get it to me. Cause she was like, this is heavy. What is this? I was like, oh, it's shelves.
Yeah.
And it's real high quality shelves. So I took them home. assembled them. My first one took me, I would say, I was on camera doing it, and I'd say it probably took me 4 to 5 minutes to try to fully assemble it, just trying to figure out all the pieces. But I got four, and the last one, I swear, took me under 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was. I'm confident that I could assemble one in 1 minute, under 60 seconds or less.
Just yeah.
Yeah, and it's cool because it's good quality. They fit well together. That's why you're not sitting there like messing with them, trying to get them to align. Like, they just fit. They're, and like, there's just four screws. And I will say this, when I put, I maybe share this, but when I was putting my in the bag hyzer rack together in the warehouse, I was like, I was pulling it to where it was going to be after I put them all on top of one another. And I bumped it, and the top one and the shelf fell on the concrete floor of the warehouse. So this thing's probably what, a little under five feet tall? Yeah. And it fell from about 5 feet on straight concrete. Nothing happened to them.
Yeah,
I was terrified, but nothing happened. So make sure you check out Hyzer Racks, HyzerDiscRacks.com, yeah. I believe is the URL. It's links in the description. Let them know that we sent you over. Again, it's Christmas. It's maybe a little too late, but hey, nothing says I love you and sorry I forgot Christmas like a Hyzer disc wrap.
A little IOU. Send a little picture. Hey, here's what we got. You can get it in the bag logo, Robbie C logo, Foundation logo, the Minnesota Wild. You can get so many logos done.
Yeah.
Really love it. But when I got these racks, and my wife was thrilled because she looked at them and she was like,
so this is what I've been waiting for.
When are we getting more? Because I have some discs still in boxes and whatnot. She was like, if you can get all these boxes off the floor, we can get rid of the curtain that blocks in all of my disc golf stuff. And I was like,
all right,
bet. Here we go. But as I was setting all my discs out, because I was like, oh, cool, I have all this space now, because they also hold so many discs, guys.
Yeah, so many.
They hold so many. And so I'm setting all these out, doing my thing. And I found out, Brad, I don't bag it currently because I have the stalker. I have, I think, 8 evaders. Just like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Just straight chilling. I love the evader. I think it's a great disc. So I know when we both got into hexes, you hooked me up with some hexes. So I will have to, I'll have some evaders ready for you, because I have some cool plastic looking ones.
That's awesome, man. Well, I'm excited. And that's another beautiful thing too. They're not just like shoved in a box somewhere or stacked up. Like, you can actually like sit through it, like leaf through them, which I like to do on occasion. And I have my top shelf of one of mine is all like custom foundation stamps and runs we've done since I've been here. So that's cool. And then some fan dies that have been sent to me, and then like, hey, here's the all bird bag I created. It's on like its own little separate, cause it has, separators in it too, so you can kind of slide them and separate your disc and organize them. So anyway, check out Hyzer Disc Racks. Thank you, Shannon, for being a presenting sponsor. What's new in the warehouse? And so, Robbie, what's new in the warehouse? Just kidding.
So here's what we got. It's new. So many shipments. Do you like frisbees, guys? We got so many restocks coming to you today. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I think the some big highlights here, MD5 released in S-line plastic this week, so I'm excited about that. That's another one I forgot to mention to Nate, because I threw the Metal Flake C-line at MD5 when they had the European Open special stamp, and I really liked it. I don't even remember, we did a Warehouse Guys throw, and I compared it to the Bobcat, so that might be one to check out, because the Quake I have is not quite stable enough. We also have all kinds of the trilogies dropping this week as well. Along, I think the highlight there for me is the Opto Orbit, I believe, River. So that's going to be a very tasty one to try out. I love the River. Again, it kind of crowds some other stuff. Like, it kind of crowds my FD. That's why I don't throw it. But every time I pick up a River, I'm like, man, why don't I throw a River? Let's see. What else do we have here? I'm just making sure I didn't forget anything that drops. It's today. Today's Thursday. So, restock of the Orbit Graces, the Kristen Tatar 2-time world champion Orbit Graces. That restock came in. We have some, the Grand Slam Explorers as well. Trespass. We have Orbit Trespass, Orbit Bear. I think, order some spikes too. We haven't had any of those since I've been here.
The spike is sneaky good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one definitely feels good. Lucid Ice Orbit Judge. Hello, everybody, for you judge throwers out there. So that's that one's tasty as too. I put the judge on my bracket, and I kind of secretly wanted the judge to win, because I kind of wanted to be a judge guy. But
iconic.
Yeah. So check that out. We also have Ledge. So if you're listening to this on Friday, Ledgestone 2024 release technically is happening this Friday. They're doing an early Ledgestone release. So there's some cool, there's some very cool Lunas in this.
This is season, because they're calling them seasons this time, right?
That's instead right. Yeah. Waves. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Okay, Nate. Well, yeah. Getting a little too creative here, buddy.
Yeah.
But anywho, so is this the one that has the crystal rattlers, or is that coming later?
I think that's later. It just came in. I haven't really leafed through exactly what's in there, but I do know I saw the Lunas. The crystal Lunas are pretty sick. There's also some really awesome Raptors in there too. I just saw them for a second. So make sure you check that out. All this is going to be recently restocked on foundationdisc.com. Make sure you check that out as well. And if you're listening to this, you might still be, Trevor still might be streaming at this point. He is doing a 24-hour punishment stream from 7 p.m. on Thursday Eastern time to 7 p.m. Friday on Eastern time. So I guess technically this is coming out when he stops. So go give Trevor some love. Make sure you let him know everything's okay. He's probably sleeping.
Before we jump off, Brad, Lindsay and I were talking about this because I was like, oh, I got to text Brad real fast to ask if we're recording at a normal time because Trevor might be streaming. And then when you told me when he's starting, Lindsay was like, what? So my question is, if you were doing a 24-hour stream, because I think there's pros and cons to both, would you rather start at night, or would you like, because he's starting at 7 p.m. So that's you had a full day, and then you're going to go stream for literally a full day. Would you rather be the guy to try to start your 24-hour stream at night, or would you start like, all right, I'm waking up and I'm starting at 9 a.m.?
No, I think I'm starting at 9 a.m. to be honest with you. I would do the morning because it's do my full normal day. I'm used to being, and I'm a night owl anyway. I think it's pretty easy to stay up until like the morning of the following day. But I think the 7 p.m. to 7 p.m. is going to be killer. I think it's going to be a miserable. So, and maybe, hey, I know he's doing a lot of prep. He's like, he did all this research on what food he needs to eat to stay energized and what kind of light he needs. And that's just Trevor. He's a planner, but. I don't think I like that.
Yeah, I thought through the same thing, and I'm like, I think I would start early, but I did the major pro and con to both. If you start early, the day of streaming feels very normal because you push through, and I'm with you. Like, I went to bed late last night, and because I was just like, I'm a night owl as well. But the hardest part of the push is obviously probably like the last hour, I don't even know, up to 16 to 24, right? So those last 8 hours. And if you start in the morning, those last 8 hours, you're somewhat by yourself because everybody is asleep.
Yep.
Whereas hopefully it doesn't take the wind out of his sails of I got to start in the middle of the night and get going.
Right.
And then once the wind's starting to leave, everybody wakes up. Yeah. And they're here chilling. And also, people are going to be just hilariously there laughing with him tomorrow because he's going to be sitting right where you are.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, make sure you give Trevor a shout out for that. Shout out to all of you for your support for In the Bag. I mean, we're approaching the end of the year. We're about to Christmas and the end of the year. It's been a great year for In the Bag. It's because of all of you. Thanks to Disc Golf RPM for being the prison bag building sponsor. Thanks to Heiser Racks. For being the warehouse sponsor. Thank you for supporting Foundation Disc Golf and Robbie C, and we appreciate you all, and we will see you next time. But in the meantime, if it's good,
keep it in the bag.